This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
House will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today is Pastor John Armstrong of the Fort Pierre Ministerial Association. That will be followed by a Pledge of Allegiance led by our pages Jennifer Nelson from Huron and Emily Smith from Eureka.
Let us bow in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for giving us the blessings of another day. We pray your blessings on the members of this house as they set about doing the important work that faces them. Help them to make wise decisions and to carry out their responsibilities with high hopes for a better future for our state. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and
justice for all. Thank you. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson, Bartling, Beal, Bolin, Bordeaux, Bruner, Campbell, Consett, Craig, Cronin, Deutsch, DeSanto, Dryden, Duvall, Feikert, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hager, Harrison, Hogard, Hawks, Holly, Heineman, Holmes, Hunhoff, Hunt, Jensen, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Klum, Langer, Latterell, Marty, May, McCleary, Mickelson, Munsterman, Nordstrup, Otten, Partridge, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Ramkema, Rounds, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Schoenbeck, Shanefish, Schramp, Sly, Soli, Solem, Stalzer, Steinhauer, Stevens, Tolson, Vershiel, Werner, Westra, Wick, Willidson, Wollman, Zickman, Speaker Wink.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the fourth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Dean Wink, Chair.
Those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Journal is approved. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that House Bill 1025, 1026, and 1028 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. House Bill 1023 was tabled. Scott Munsterman, Chair. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bill 1018 and 1020 do pass. House Bill 1019 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Lee Qualm, Chair. The Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bill 1002 and 1003 do pass. Kristen A. Consett, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to the joint rules for the 91st legislative session. Respectfully, Kay Johnson, Secretary.
Motions.
Representative Gosch moves that House Bill 1054 be referred from the Committee on State Affairs to the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources.
Those in favor of the Gosch motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Representative Gosch moves that the temporary House rules of the 90th legislative session be made the permanent House rules for the 91st legislative session.
Second. That motion having been made and seconded to make the temporary House rules the permanent House rules to be adopted is now up for consideration. Are there any remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is the adoption of the aforementioned motion. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote. These are just concerning the House rules. There were no changes in the House rules this year.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 67 yeas. Zero nays.
That motion having received a majority vote of the members elect is hereby adopted.
House Concurrent Resolution 1001, recognizing the outstanding public service of President Harry Truman. The Speaker has waived the committee referral.
Consideration reports of select committees.
Representative Gosch moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to the joint rules for the 91st legislative session be adopted.
Second. That motion having been made and seconded for the permanent House rules to be adopted is now up for consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to run through the report so the members who may not have had a chance to read it understand what the changes are to the joint rules of the House and Senate. In 6B-1, the time for introduction of bills, the number of copies for introduction, that one has added the word commemoration in that section, so that commemorations also have to be taken to the front desk 2 hours prior to the start of session, so that would be noon. 6D-1, referral of bills and resolutions to standing committees. Unless otherwise directed, appropriations bills will go to the Joint Appropriations Committee. In 7-1.4, the posting of agendas. This deals with what happens to an agenda that would be posted on the last day of a week. When you have the weekend intervening between the start of the next week, instead of having to be posted by the end of session on that last day of the week, you have to post it by 5 p.m. That would be the change there. 7-11 removes the language, the general appropriation bill shall be introduced no later than the 60th legislative day. In 7-11.1, this moves up the revenue target date so that the appropriations process, appropriations joint committee, can work with a number earlier on in session and establish a budget that meets that target date. And that can also be adjusted when more information comes in later in session. 7-12 rewords some of the language here for the Joint Appropriations Committee, and a split vote would still be allowed under this rule. If each House or Senate Appropriations Committee would like to have a split vote on a topic, on an action. Also added here is that the agendas for the Joint Appropriations Committee would have to be approved by both chairs. In Chapter 17, the calendar, adjustments are made to comport with a new schedule for joint appropriations. And then in 17-1, this makes it clear that any general bill would not be subject to the deadlines. That's already the case for the general bill that is most often dealt with. Any general bill would not be subject to the deadlines that were normally posted for bills. And also, there'd be a new deadline for the Appropriations Committee to deliver bills to the original chamber. It would add four additional days for the Appropriations Committee. With that, that should explain the report, I hope. Any questions? Don't ask me.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is adoption of the permanent House rules. Those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members will proceed to vote. Our doctor of the day today is Rob Allison. He practices internal medicine at Avera Medical Group in Pierre. He's received his medical degree and completed his residency at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. He's a fellow in the American College of Physicians. He's an active member of the South Dakota State Medical Association since 1998. He is a past president of the association and is currently an alternate delegate to the American Medical Association. Help me in welcoming Dr. Allison. He's in the back, standing up there.
Representative Haugard. Representative Haugard votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 63 yeas, 4 nays, 3 excused.
That motion, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby adopted. President Deutsch, do you have an announcement today?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Our good friend that all of us love and know quite well, former Speaker of the House, former Mayor of Big Stone, and one of the original members of TR Crew, Val Rausch, is here with us today. Can we all please give former Speaker Rausch a hand?
On behalf of Representative Langer, I also want to welcome the South Dakota Birth Matters. They were in charge of our lunch today, and they also invite you to a question and answer period at 3:30 on the midwife bills at the Visitor's Center, just down below the Capitol here. So let's thank them for our lunch today. Anybody here from Birth Matters? And also in room 423 at 3 o'clock, there's an informational session on the Dakota Access Pipeline. That'll be over on the Senate side, room 423 at 3 o'clock today. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1056, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the veterans' preference in employment. House Bill 1060, an act to repeal the South Dakota Board of Geographic Names. House Bill 1065, an act to designate the
For our visitors to the left, they're looking with perplexed expressions on their face. Our Constitution calls for reading bills twice. Before we had the Internet, the legislators at that time, our predecessors, wanted to make sure that no bills could be passed without giving all the legislators a good idea of what's in them, so they had them read it twice. Now, since we have the Internet and computers, why, they can read them on the Internet, so we read them all at the same time, which is a little bit confusing to those that are not familiar with the process. So that's what was going on. The Speaker signs House Bill 1057 to Commerce, House Bill 1061 to Education, House Bill 1058, 1059, 1062, 1063, and 1064 to Judiciary, and House Bill 1056, 1060, and 1065 to State Affairs. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1021, an act to allow child advocacy centers and tribal agencies that provide child placement services to obtain results from a check of the Central Registry for Abuse and Neglect.
House Bill 1021, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Child advocacy centers arrange forensic interviews and medical exams for children who have been abused and or neglected when there are allegations of abuse or neglect. House Bill 1021 amends two statutes related to the Central Registry for staff who work with abused and neglected children. We have different organizations that are run by the state where if somebody's going to be involved with these kids, you can check to make sure they're not on some kind of a registry. This past year, these private organizations came to the Department of Social Services and said they'd like to be able to run by people that they are going to be working with these kids to make sure they're not on these registries as well. And so what this act does is it allows the child advocacy centers and tribal agencies to have people's names turned into the DSS to make sure that they're not on any kind of registry. This is not going to be any cost at all to the DSS, and this is really a proactive approach to this, and it's really meant to keep the kids safe. And I'd ask for your support of this bill.
Any further remarks? Representative Haugarden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had...
Do you have an amendment?
I do have an amendment, yes.
Has it been distributed?
It has been, and the second version is being distributed right now.
Okay, you're going to... Yeah, because it has the same number.
Yeah, I see...
1021RA, is that right?
Yes, I see they did not change that. But it's short enough I can explain what it is.
Okay. So once we get it distributed, you'll need to explain which one that this applies to. I assume it's the second one?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
So it would read on page 1, line 9 of the printed bill, after any, underline, insert nationally accredited. And on page 1, line 10, delete accredited by the National Children's Alliance and insert recognized by the Department of Social Services. Is that the version that you're asking?
That's correct, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. You can go ahead and address this amendment while it's being passed out.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, the amendment isn't intended to do any damage to the underlying bill. I did contact both the department secretary, Ms. Valenti, and Ms. Weisler, and discussed it with them. I understand they would like to leave it the way it is, but my concern about the provision as it is written now in the House Bill number 1021 is that it boxes us into being connected specifically to the National Children's Alliance, which is probably fine at this point, but it's simply a standalone nonprofit corporation based out of Washington, D.C., and as I looked it up, as I say, it's a standalone where they receive funding through donations and maybe some government grants and that sort of thing. But as I looked a little closer at the organization, I looked through the report of an organization that does evaluations of various nonprofits, and one of the things that was kind of a red flag in that was reference to the financial statements, and there they indicated that the audited financial statement is not available for this organization. So they may be fine, but it was just one of those red flags that seems that we would not want to box ourselves in as putting this into the state statute to specifically require only that organization be involved. The amendment that I've proposed is to change the language along that sentence and simply say that it's to be accredited by the to change the phrase to say any nationally accredited child advocacy center recognized by the Department of Social Services. So the department would continue to have oversight of this, and they'd decide who's going to be accepted and who's not. And this way it would give some flexibility to the state to include other nationally accrediting organizations that might might come into being. Also, this, I think, is more consistent with the Senate Bill 21 that's being proposed by the department, which speaks to the definition of a child advocacy center. And there they don't box themselves in by saying anything about this National Children's Alliance. So I would like to see it be consistent with Senate Bill 21, as well as giving us some latitude to modify this, or for the agency, the Department of Social Services, to modify who they accept as a nationally accrediting organization in the future. And again, it doesn't do any damage to the underlying purpose or intent of the bill. I think it's an improvement to the bill. But that's my perspective on it, and that's why I'm submitting the proposed amendment.
Thank you, Representative Haugarden. Any further remarks on the amendment 1021RA? Representative Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to this amendment. I really don't believe that it's necessary at all. You know, this organization that's in this language here is the only organization that's accrediting these kind of organizations. And so, you know, you may have some difference of opinion maybe about this organization, but that's really what we have. And we know their history. We know about their money situation. And in this situation here, by putting the language and having DSS, we're asking them to start getting into the accreditation business. I don't know what kind of a cost that there would be. And I really think it really needs to be left just exactly like the bill is written. I think we're opening up a door that we really don't need to be opening. I think the bill is pretty straightforward as it is, and I think we really need to make sure that we're back on the focus of what the bill is. And the bill is to make sure that these organizations have access to this information, going through the DSS again. It's like saying it's not, they don't get to just check into our system. They bring the names to DSS, and then DSS gives them a report. And that's really what the focus is. And so I don't think we need to get off onto this whole idea of accreditation. I think we should leave it as it is and not involve DSS in this matter. Thank you.
Any further remarks on Amendment 1021RA? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. And I agree with the previous speaker. And just for some information on the National Children's Alliance, I am on Jolene's Law Task Force, and we work very closely with the Children's Advocacy Centers in the state of South Dakota. They are the ones who came forward and asked to be put as part of this bill, as part of our statutes. And their requirements are a multidisciplinary team, cultural competency and diversity, a forensic interview, and these are children that who have been abused in our state that are coming to the Child Advocacy Center for help. Victim support and advocacy, medical evaluation, mental health, case review, case tracking, organizational capacity, and a child-focused setting, which four of the child advocacy centers in the state of South Dakota provide right now. They are the ones who asked for this to be included in this bill, and they are the ones who have this accrediting agency, and there are no state funds involved in this whatsoever. The CICs are not supported by the state. We're one of the few states that do not support the child advocacy centers, but they are asking to be put into this bill and recognized so that that people can access to protect South Dakota's children. So please resist this amendment and go back to the original form of the bill, which is what Child Protective Services asked for, Department of Social Services, and the Child Advocacy Centers. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Amendment 1021RA? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I stand in support of the amendment. The comments we heard by the previous speakers about National Children's Alliance, that's correct. Today they are the only one that's able to do this, but what about tomorrow? What about next year? What about the next week? The words recognized by the Department of Social Services are there, and the National Children's Alliance is assumed to be in this language if they are recognized by the Department of Social Services. I think this mirrors Senate Bill 21, which will be coming over here probably here after a crossover. And I think we should, this would mirror that. This would, I think, smooth the transition over. I would ask you to support the amendment.
Representative Schoenbeck.
Thank you. Just real brief. I support the amendment. All he's doing is taking out reference to a private business and putting a generic term in, and I don't know why you would have a private business's name in a piece of public legislation.
Further remarks? Representative Mickelson.
I rise in opposition to the amendment. The idea that the good representative from Minnehaha County has presented is a good idea. The concern is, in amending this on the floor, we create a little bit of confusion about what is a nationally accredited child advocacy center. Is it a child advocacy center that's attached to a hospital, and the hospital's nationally accredited? And so for the purposes of making sure that we would get whatever idea that he has correct, I would urge that you resist this amendment, and at the appropriate time, if he wants to sit and work this out with the Department of Social Services, that would be a more appropriate venue for this. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, I rise in support of the proposed amendment. I'm going to oppose this. What if National Children's Alliance changes its name tomorrow? We're back here amending this statute. The proposed amendment deals specifically with that. I don't see any problems with the proposed amendment. I think it's good legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body. You know, I'm afraid there's a little bit of confusion here. No one is trying to take out National Children's Alliance. They want to be part of this. We want them to be part of this. Very honestly, I was in this committee, and if this amendment had been presented this way, I would have voted for it. I think this amendment makes all much better and will probably save us coming back in 2 or 3 years and adding another group to this particular category. So why not let's save our time in the future? Let's make this a little broader. Let's continue the intent of having this alliance group involved. And let's go on to pass the amendment and then go on to pass the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Would anybody like to speak before Representative Haugard speaks for the second time? Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just agree with the comments and support, obviously, that I don't see any reason to box ourselves in. It's not hostile to the particular organization referenced here, but it's just simply to allow the opportunity for other organizations, if they crop up and exist, to likewise be involved in the accrediting process. And as we've indicated in the amendment, that this is to be approved by the Department of Social Services. So we haven't taken anything away. I think it gives enough latitude so that it allows this piece of legislation to go on for a long period of time without being amended.
Thank you, Representative. Okay, the question being Representative Haugard's motion to amend House Bill 1021. Does any member wish the motion to amend be reread? Are we clear now on which version we have we're going to vote on? They're both number 1021RA, which is a mistake, but the one that Representative Haugard brought in the second is going to be the one that says page 1, line 9 of the printed bill, after any, insert nationally accredited, and page 1, line 10, delete accredited by the National Children's Alliance, and insert recognized by the Department of Social Services. Representative Haugard, is that? Am I clear on that? Okay. So that's what we're voting on. Those in favor of the amendment 1021RA signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
Motion carries. Okay, so we're back to House Bill 1021 as amended. Are there any remarks on the original bill? Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to be the only lawyer not to speak on this bill. I think in its new form, it's just fine. Please vote green.
Further remarks on 1021 as amended. Any further remarks on 1021 as amended? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1021 as amended. Those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote. On behalf of Representative Greenfield and Tolson, I want to wish to welcome Nina Stepanen and the homeschool students from Hamlin County. Are they still in the gallery? Here we go. Let's give them a big hand and welcome them here.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 68 yeas, 2 excused.
House Bill 1021, as amended, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed.
House Bill 1022, an act to revise certain provisions related to the use of another planned permanent living arrangement as a permanency plan for certain children.
House Bill 1022, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House of Representatives. South Dakota is a place where we recognize that it takes strong families and loving parents to raise joyful and healthy children who will grow up to serve God and their neighbors and continue to build a strong state, whereas our state motto says, under God the people rule. But what about the children? Unfortunately, there are still cases in our state where children are abused and neglected by their parents or by those who are entrusted to care for them. When this happens, we need to have the heart to intervene and do whatever is required to help every child grow up in a safe and loving environment. South Dakota state law requires citizens in professional capacities to report cases of abuse and neglect, upon which law enforcement, the Attorney General, and or the Department of Social Services will investigate and determine if abuse has occurred. If the court determines that abuse has happened and returning the child to the home of the parent or guardian is not appropriate, then a permanency hearing is held where the court determines whether it's adoption, legal guardianship, another relative who is fit and willing, or another planned permanent living arrangement is the most appropriate place for the child. And we heard this bill in Judiciary Committee. The chairman was kind enough to allow me to speak on this bill on the floor. So what House Bill 1022 does is it adds language to clarify that an alternative permanent arrangement for children is only for 16 years of age or older, and that the child's input should be asked for and considered by the court. Now, this change is to put South Dakota in compliance with a 2014 federal law that was called Preventing Sex Trafficking and Strengthening Families Act. Now, Sections 1 through 3 clarify that it's only a child over the age of 16 that this would be possible for, because previously any age child could be placed into this category. And although this category was designated as a last resort option, APPLA, as it's referred to, ends up being permanent foster care and has been referred to as the exception that ate the rule, becoming unfortunately very routine. So Section 1 will also require now that the court will ask the child about their desired permanency preference, and then make a judicial determination if that is in the best interest of the child. So when children cannot be returned to their family, it's important for them to have a permanent place to live. And this change will clarify that an alternative permanent placement or permanent foster care is only for children aged 16 years of age or older and only when other options have been fully exhausted. This is intended to prevent young children from growing up in permanent foster care. HB 1022 was brought before Judiciary last week by the Department of Social Services and passed by a unanimous vote before the committee. So in the words of a contemporary poet, please think about the children and be visionary for a change in the law that will help our children grow up in the best environment possible. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1022? Further remarks on House Bill 1022? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1022. Those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote.
Cronin votes aye. Representative Soley. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 68 yeas, 2 excused.
House Bill 1022, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct. The House will be at ease for a few minutes. We've got some motions that need to be addressed, and the Senate's doing one thing, and we were going to do the other. So let's get this squared away before we proceed. We'll be at ease for five minutes. Okay, if you could take your seats, we'll proceed. Yep. There being no objections, the House will revert back to a previous order of business, number 8, motions.
Representative Gosch moves that House Bill 1007, 1012, 1015, 1016, 1017, 1024, 1029, 1042, 1043, 1044, 1045, 1046, and 1047 be referred from the Committee on House Appropriations to the Committee on Joint Appropriations.
All those in favor of the Gosch motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Any announcements? Representative Hunt.
Reminder that we will again begin Catacombs Caucus. It'll be tomorrow morning in the Governor's Large Conference Room at 7 o'clock. We'll have coffee and cookies there for you. Please come. Even if you haven't been there before, I think you'll find it very rewarding. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further announcements? Speaker. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., House Commerce Committee will meet in its usual location, 464. We have some bills to take up, I think four of them. And my second announcement is this afternoon at 4 o'clock, room 414. The PUC, all three commissioners will be there to give a briefing. And I'm just giving you a reminder because these are some important topics. Some of the topics will include the EPA's Clean Power Plan, which is something we all need to hear about, and a little bit about the Dakota Access Pipeline and proposed Keystone Pipeline. So if you can make it there, it'll be an hour-long event, 4 o'clock. Love to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. Further announcements? Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two announcements. The first one is House Education Committee tomorrow morning, 7:45. The Board of Regents and the technical institutes will be sharing what they're doing to retain students and to get them through completion of their programs. And the second announcement is that tomorrow, after session, 20 minutes after both the House and Senate are out, there will be an informational meeting on the education funding plan that has been presented, and we'll do the major findings of the task force and then move into the actual formula and also the parts of the plan. So that will be in room 414 tomorrow after session.
Okay, thank you. Further announcements? Representative Westra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Announcement, House State Affairs will meet tomorrow morning, 8:30 in room 414. We'll be taking up two bills.
Thank you very much. Further announcements? Representative Mickelson.
There is no House Judiciary meeting tomorrow.
Further announcements? Seeing none, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.